Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of IV Podcast. I'm Suta.
And I'm Melissa Spence.
And today we're talking about just pollution in general. I saw a really interesting article that just came out a day ago, and I see that a lot of other media outlets have picked it up, and it's finally drawing attention to how the level of plastic and endocrine disruptors that we have in our environment are now correlating to the decreasing size of men's penises.
Whoa.
So
I thought you were going to say something like there's a mass, you know, like the mass amount of plastic that's in the ocean, or how the landfills are out of control. I had no idea that you were going to go straight to the male penis.
Right, let's
how
they talk about our bodies all the time. They regulate them quite freely.
Oh,
so
my goodness. You know, like how many podcasts and episodes are there about boobs alone?
Body image, women's confidence. Yeah. Let's talk about the men for a second. Yeah, I just found this. It was kind of like a no duh moment for me when I read the headline, because I've been following, you know, water pollution and contamination and endocrine disruptors, which are typically phthalates, which, you know, when you buy detergent or shampoo and conditioner, you'll get a choice. When you look at the bottle, it'll say phthalate free. Definitely go with that one. Why? Because phthalates are the endocrine disruptors that your body recognizes as a hormone. And so I think these are recognizing them as estrogen hormones. So effectively, like, or essentially, all of our men and boys are getting an estrogen treatment just by exposure to, you know, cheap plastic cups, cheap plastic water bottles, hazardous indoor building material that off gases a lot of chemicals. But it's a pretty insane thing that I don't think a lot of people know when we say reduce fossil fuel products. And what does that mean? It's not just like stretchy clothes that we wear or the harms of manufacturing those and the millions of gallons of chemicals and water and dyes. And I think it's really getting to like our health and how it exactly impacts us from a fossil fuel product. Like that's kind of ambiguous, to breaking it down into a plastic bottle or a plastic chemical ingredient, and then we ingest it or like slather it all over ourselves.
Right. I know that you've been super conscious of this for like a long time, pretty much since I've known you. And growing up in Canada, I come from a society that is more conscious about recycling and stuff like that and having the environment be a part of your world. Whereas when I came to America, I moved to Phoenix and like there was no recycling options even available. And I was really blown away by just how much piles of plastic stuff there was everywhere and people just not really caring about it and not really having that connection to the environment in everyday life, which was lost so long ago in this society. So now to have an article come out that says, hey, it's not just about climate change, food supply and energy resources, it's going to affect your penis now. And I think something like this, especially even fertility and libido, right? It's like you kind of have to put it in those terms to make people pay attention, which is really sad.
Yeah, it's going to affect you. It's not one of those things where I've heard a lot of people say, even our age and younger, that, well, it's not really going to affect me. It's going to be a problem of the future generations. And it's always kind of a gut punch to see that lack of compassion, I suppose, or empathy.
Yeah, just empathy for like life in general.
Yes. Duh, it's very cool to be kind. Be kind.
Like, I'm going to die. You're all going to die. Oh, well, that attitude.
No. That's like, what is that saying? Like a negative mind will create a negative life, or a negative mind will never create a positive life.
And never.
So I think skeptical, overwhelmed, I guess, would that be? We just have so much coming at us from every direction. And I think if you're not working already in the field of environment or health, then you just aren't really conscious of it. And you're just kind of trying to get the cheapest product and the biggest bang for your buck, which usually right. means lower quality. And then you end up getting meats that are, you know, if you eat meat, I just watched a freshwater, I don't know. I think you can pick up, I want to see if anyone's listening, pick up a can of the cheapest tuna you can find. And let's take a microscope and check. Cause I saw a girl who opened up a can of cheap tuna and found a lot of microplastic particles. And so I know that there's not many places left in the world that we can escape plastic particles. If you drink bottled water, you're drinking plastic particles. I'm 150% sure. There is not a plastic water bottle company in the world unless they're glass or cardboard. But even our sources are tainted, you know, there's plastic everywhere.
There absolutely is. And I've noticed with people who absolutely have no connection to the environment or what they're doing when they're like going for these types of products is like, it's all about money and least amount of effort is what I'm noticing when it comes to using plastic cups. I remember working at the airport when I had a little stint at the airport at a cafe, and my coworkers were just going through plastic cups like crazy. I was like, dude, just rinse it out and use it again. If you must use that plastic cup for whatever you're drinking during your working shift, rinse it out and use it again. And they looked at me like I was insane. Like, why would I do that? That's dirty. This is a dirty cup and it needs to go. So I need to get a fresh one. Like just that kind of a mentality. And that's when I noticed, like, how do I even begin to get through to people? And I don't even know what it's going to take to wake up a society that is this far gone down that just total disconnect.
Well, I'm hoping that this gets the attention of more men who are concerned, you know. If I was a man
and had a penis, I would definitely be concerned, you know. I mean, fertility-wise, I'm not too concerned about it. Libido-wise, I don't know, but this is specifically at men, though. Like, this is a huge, no pun intended, deal.
It's a huge deal. Well, it's not an old deal either. It's something that has been around. Studies on endocrine disruption have been around for, you know, longer than I've been alive, I think. And right around the 30, 40 year mark that they've been studying the impacts of petrochemical products like plastic on human health. And what they've found and what we experience environmentally is that you get chromosomal shifts. Mm-hmm. And you heard a long time ago, I know you must have heard when you were younger, that the world is slowly growing more female. There are two females to every male. There's just more females. Well, it's going to increase with the more endocrine disruptors that we allow or don't clean up out of our environment. Because it's already happening. In the Great Lakes, there are more female frogs and more female fish born than there are male fish. And those are happening in utero. So those are huge deals when you think about beings being formed or created. I don't know what your belief system is, but they're created and they have a certain genetic makeup and their chromosomes determine male. But because of the habitat they're in and the exposure that the mother has experienced over her, you know, couple years of life to spawning point, she has so much phthalate, plastic particles, chemical disruption in her DNA, in her body, that you get an in utero chromosomal shift. Which means your X chromosome turns into a Y chromosome, and that little baby boy fish is now another female fish, but was originally a boy fish.
That is so crazy.
Same with frogs.
That is such
every aquatic being right there.
That's the Great so Lake. Not normal.
No.
Creating so much toxins that it is literally affecting growing life that is trying to grow as it should grow naturally to maintain a balance, right? Mm-hmm. It's completely getting unbalanced.
So be careful where you swim. Woo. Like this is, it's just a clean, healthy lifestyle, which is like kind of plastic free. So don't have reusable things. Don't buy plastic dishes. My son, I had a glass bottle for him when he was younger and brought him straight over to a glass, a little small glass cup. We hardly ever use those plastics unless they come with something like my magic bullet, you know, like,
so. I know, like, I'm drinking out of plastic right now. I'm drinking my like super healthy smoothie, yet it's in a plastic cup.
Well, and that depends. Like, are you buying your plastics? Is this from the dollar store? Does it say BPA free on it? Are you like gassed with a chemical smell when you open the package, because that's a big indicator of off-gassing, and those gases are thousands of chemicals. So we
you
don't
know what was concerning me, actually. I told you I bought a brand new bed, right? Like, I made my most adult purchase since I've been an adult, and I spent a lot of money on this luxury comfortable bed, and when I got it, the smell of whatever was inside of it was pretty strong, as to, you know, the memory foam in it and all the materials that make up all these scientific, I'm putting quotes, layers that have, this bed has been engineered to be like the most comfortable, blah, 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 hybrid micro foam or whatever with springs. And I was laying on it and I was like, whew, it really smells like chemicals. And I was just thinking, I'm like, how much of this is actually seeping into my body now? So I put like a protector over it, plus a sheet and another protector. Cause I'm just like, I worry about stuff like that. Ever since I became a vegan, like almost 5.5 years ago, I have become extremely sensitive. I had to change my laundry detergent. I had to change my hand soaps and all my lotions, because as soon as my body started to kick out the toxins from the food, I started to get like almost reactive to the other products that I was using, like lotions, because I'm heavy into like beauty and cosmetics. And right away, mm-hmm. I was like, damn, even when people walk by me who use a strong laundry detergent or fabric softener, I get like triggered. It like sends me into almost like a sneezing fit. I'm just like, it's too powerful, whatever's in there.
Yeah, that's totally what I notice when people detox, and and they just get more sensitive. And I'm sensitive to MSG in food. So that's monosodium glutamate.
I get a headache. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I must have ate something bad. I have a headache, because I never get headaches ever.
Yeah. And I know it happens like when I'm in control of my diet and I can go shopping, I purposefully pick out foods free of chemicals, toxins. You can always find like the excuse that organic is more expensive to eat, I think is debunked. I buy stuff with it's on sale. Organic that's on sale. And I think it's just important because you can taste the quality difference. You can taste like,
and it looks different.
The nutrient difference. Yes.
When I used to eat meat, I used to buy like a real chicken from like a real not so terrible farm that wasn't pumped with hormones. And you could see how small happy. It was.
Nobody can see my air quotes, happy chickens.
Like I tricked myself into believing that too. So I was eating all these like super free range chickens, and like you could visibly see the difference from a mass produced, you know, chicken that was huge and morbidly big to the little one that was like skinny and not that much meat, but like double the price. And I totally got like why people don't want to invest in health, because they don't see, I guess, the worth in paying more for something less, you know, like it all comes down to commercialism and like capitalism at the same
time. But what is that? Our big fat American dream,
like, right?
That we have just copious amounts of like fries or soda.
Oh, or it is or like America.
We don't want an orange if it's not like this big, when a real orange is actually only like,
have you ever seen the size of real apples? They're pretty small.
Yeah.
Not these giant red delicious that are like half the size of your head. Like that's so not normal.
Mm-hmm. But we have like, it all relates to health, I think. And we have like health epidemics, diabetes, like hypertension. We have immune issues, inflammation issues, obesity, like all of that is preventable, right?
I had a lot of those things that you just mentioned, and I pretty much cured them all by going plant-based and just being conscious. I'm having trouble saying that word today.
Conscious.
Conscious. Of being conscious.
I can't say it.
I have to put on Queen Mother's accent to say conscious.
Being mindful and aware of what I was putting in my body. I went from literally smoking cigarettes, tequila shots, to fried chicken wings and pizzas with like insane amounts of cheese and grease, and then like unhealthy like ranch dippings and blah, 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 to being plant-based. Like here I am having a green smoothie. I've got a almond yogurt with like fresh mangoes in it and hemp seeds, and I'm trying to be more connected to my body, because essentially once you're connected to your body, you're more connected to the environment. That's at least what I believe. So I think to start there with themselves, where
exactly
can they connect?
That's always the first place to start.
Like, how are you disconnected? Just acknowledge where you're disconnected, or how do you just want to feel better, because there's so much garbage around us, right?
And it affects our emotional health. It affects our mental health. I know when I feel like when I eat junk, because I do eat junk, like I do go out and get ice cream, and I have no clue. Yeah. Where the commercial like food is coming from. If the restaurant doesn't say, you know, they could be getting their milk from cows that are heavily dosed with antibiotics. And that's also a story that has been out and about since the 90s or so, is that the growing problem of males with boobs, and that's from excess estrogen in the diet. And they found it was from the hormones that was in the milk. And so if you tend to drink more milk as a man and you had a problem of having boobs, then they told you to stop drinking. And that's when all of these milk alternatives came out, and it kind of, I don't think they were related, but I noticed that you had a choice of almond, rice.
You notice again how you had to flip it on to like, this is what's going to happen to you if you continue this way. Kind of like this, the article that you found with the small penis that grabbed attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we need to get the attention of males in general for things to kind of change. Is that just me reaching? I don't know. But it just seems like once we get a bunch of dudes on board, we're more likely to succeed.
Yes.
And major change.
Where are the dudes at?
Where are the dudes at? I know there's a lot online who are promoting, you know, great lifestyles and stuff like that. But the majority, I don't know.
Showing up at community events, showing up at a protest, you know, town hall meetings to talk about pollution cleanup. It's mostly I think the construction side of the industry. So the actual like cleanup and the actual building of a mine or a pipeline or something like that is male dominated. But you'll see like in our classes, equity work is female dominated. And I think it's pretty widely recognized that most of the protest work is female led. And matriarch led. And so I think this is a compelling reason for guys to get involved in environmental protection, opposed to getting like a, you know, they it's an assumption. This is a stereotype that if you have a small penis that you get a big truck. Well, in this scenario, that big truck would only continue to decrease the size of your penis.
Yeah, like I don't want to see any more big trucks. Come on, guys, get with it. They're so loud. And like when you live in the city, why?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I shouldn't laugh.
Yes, this is a very serious issue, guys.
It's really serious. I mean, we're talking like the future of people.
Yeah. Our ability to procreate.
Majorly impacted, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, what if the quality of just people in general goes down? What if we turn into like these beta minus, like Aldous Huxley's book about like these different type of beings who were just like not all there because of the chromosomes, and how they just became these weird like little people who were just simpletons. Like I can't imagine the human race just deteriorating to that level because we just wanted to play with plastic all the time and like shortcut the environment. And
it's cheaper. It's
for yeah. money.
It's not cheaper. Obviously, look at the costs we're paying.
Money or wonderful reproductive health is really what it's coming down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
We're going really deep with this article. And like when you were talking about how all of the protests in your experience are predominantly female led, it really just put into perspective on how this paradigm of like this male patriarchy is just destroying the earth slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is women who need to lead and convince whoever wants to join us to shift everything. And it's going to be chaotic and crazy. And like, I don't think that's a bad thing, but it seems really hard for the majority of like life on earth to even grasp something like that, that it would take mm-hmm. something really extreme to break down our way of like continuing existence on earth with what we're doing. And then to live a better way, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot, like the biggest thing you'll probably ever do in your life.
But it's for the benefit of humanity. And I think the hardest things are changing those small habits or putting pressure on our energy industries to have it be truly clean and not in like this sneaky way where we're going to mm-hmm. like do clean coal, but it's actually open pit mining where they remove the whole mountaintop and it's cleaner because
who is making up these lies? Can you imagine them sitting in a room like trying to figure out how to like lie to everybody and make this sound clean? Like, what kind of a person does that?
I've been looking for a person like that to help our organization. It's the wordsmither, the person who can just really play with words, and they're excellent campaigners and they set the tone for everything, and terminology is so, you're talking to a treaty Indian.
like, right,
terminology is personal perception.
Based on what I'm noticing in my life as a human in this age, is if we just use some really witty wording, like, you know, join the fight for big penises of the future, maybe that might get people on board. Or here's to great sex for the future.
Something catchy like that.
Right? Like it would have to be something like that for even to make people pay attention, because
yeah,
what people are doing now, it's like, yeah, let's save this. Like it's just too wordy or too...
Climate change. How right? does that like, really affect me?
Ugh.
How does that affect me, climate change? Well, overall, it's really well known to have all of these... issues. So this is caused by, it is directly like related to climate change. Climate change changes the way water falls, and it changes the quantity of things. It changes flooding cycles, rain cycles. It just changes everything. The way plants grow, when they grow, how they grow, if they grow. I don't think this talk is like fear mongering. It's just, you know, it's pretty much bringing what scientific journals have been saying for a few decades into a podcast. Essentially, like, the scientists know it's happening. And how are we not doing anything? Like, how are we still disconnecting, like, the problems that we have with mass extractive industries and climate change, how that affects our water, and what happens to our animals is only a domino effect and a matter of time before that also happens to us, because everything's connected.
100% connected. So what to do? I mean, we can only control our homes, I guess, you know, make the best decisions that we can. I'm really glad that you turned me on to bamboo toothbrushes, by the way. It's been a year and I love them. You know, little changes everywhere make a difference.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Starbucks stopped giving out straws. Like, if you thought about how many straws they alone contributed. Mm-hmm. And I still see, because I go to Starbucks once in a while, I'll admit it. And I'll still see people be like, I wish they... just give me a straw. And I'm just like, girl, just drink out of the freaking cup. Like, again, yeah. Like that disconnect of like, no, I need this for this. Or
yeah. Does that convenience really outweigh life?
It's a big mental barrier, and I have no idea how to get through to it because it's almost like they're too far gone to help. Brutal. What a somebody... brutal reality.
Well, I don't know. If I was a mining industry, you know, whatever industry, because the heavy metal runoff from mines and the petrochemical plastics from the manufacturing industry, they all affect us in the same way. Like, I just watched a documentary where the old coal miner's blood is so full of lead, the doctor is questioning how he's even able to stand there and talk to him. So that's what you're talking about with, like, how are we going to even be able to function? So we're chemically shifting our bodies at a chromosomal level, but then we're also putting into our brain like more amounts of mercury and lead than we've ever had as a species. And doctors who are trained to identify like toxic levels of heavy metals, where you have side effects of like slurred speech and diminished IQ, like you literally, it's what happened when we eat paint flakes.
You're turning like into a rock, bro.
our environment is very contaminated. And I guess that's why I do what I do. And I try not to get discouraged, although some days are harder.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I understand, because when I first went vegan, I would have days where I was triggered. I'd be like, nobody cares about the animals and they just don't care. And then other days I'd be like, well, I care. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can. And then I'd have another like, nobody cares. What am I going to do? How can I possibly make a difference? You know, how do you get through stuff like that? Like, I know that you seem to be like so diligent. I mean, your water day challenge was beautiful. And like, to a lot of people, it was just another day, March 22nd. I mean, how do you even like keep going after stuff like that? Like, geez.
Yes, where, yeah, it's not, it didn't have the steam that Greta had behind her talks, but, you know, it's out there. And that was 30 ways that I know that you can just be a kinder person to water and water infrastructure and to water spirits or Sweet Beaks. And I got really down because a permaculture group that I had been a member of and that I really enjoyed being a member of said, we're not going to allow this post to be posted because it's political. What? We're not going to remove you from the group, but we'll just delete the post. And I was like, oh. And that's where I got I was like, how is life political?
How is trying to make life better political? Whoa.
Because some people are making money off of that. And if I was a mining operating boss, I would take my money and I would start investing in the next industry, the cleaner, the actually cleaner industry. And a lot of people in the coal mining and the oil and gas industry, I think, will say, you know, well, you know, the very computer you're talking on is made of the mines or the metals we've mined. And you know, the solar and the wind industry uses a lot of precious metal mines. And, you know, that's just as you want to know the history of lithium batteries. And I think that's, yeah, you got an argument, but you're biased because you're employed.
Right.
And I think the real issue here is every business major has had it. I have had management, organizational management, and business management. But one of the first most basic things you learn is the grandfathers of the industry set the price, set the tone, set the direction, and are the money makers. Everybody else just follows and tries to get a piece of the pie. But that grandfathering industry is the one that leads it all. Think about Ford.
Yeah.
Right? And all the other little car companies. So if I was a big granddaddy industry father, I would take my money and I would start investing in an energy industry that is not fueled, no, pun intended, by limited finite energy resources. What do we have plenty of? Sun, wind. We have plenty of that. there are ways and ingenious methods that I'm sure we've thought of or maybe suppressed for getting around these different things like bladeless technologies to help reduce the amount of birds that are killed. So I'd take my money and I'd invest in that new up and coming industry where the resource that generates my product is not limited. Mm. I would grandfather the next industry. Why? Because I think you can look it up on, I'll text it to you so we can include it in the description, but it's a world counter of how many of the finite natural resources we have left in the world. And I think coal was right around 52 years. Anyway, the oil, gas, coal, all is like 152 years, 52 years, and 80 years. So we don't have much of any of these.
Oh my goodness.
So we're going to start digging harder, digging deeper, horizontally drilling into other people's property to scrape out those last little bits so life can remain the way we're comfortable and familiar with. But I think, you know, it takes money. People have it. It will take that one grandfather industry leader to say, all right, we're taking this mining company, we're going to start investing in this other industry, we're going to keep providing these basic fuels and resources through wind power or solar power or something like that. And then I would have a buddy who is also a billionaire, and I would buy all of the Midases or Jiffy Lubes, and I would convert half of my garage over to transitioning everybody's vehicle for cheaper than the price that they could buy new. And if I owned a vehicle dealership or a car like Toyota, then I would just start kicking out those new cars. So that comes as your option, right? Our industry leaders set our trends. If they're kicking out only electric cars, people will only buy electric cars, and electric technologies will get more powerful and easier. You know, nothing gets better unless you just jump in and try it. And then you can like make it cleaner, more cost efficient, all of that stuff. But transition, it's just transition.
Transition. I just, so many things are running through my head when you were talking, like how could we transition people's minds into that thought pattern or that just paradigm? I mean, you have these absolutely beyond rich people like Elon Musk who are investing all their time and money into like leaving the planet and trying to go to another planet, which is insane.
Absolutely. We don't even know enough about this planet and why trash a place. And I mean, they make so many movies about this, sci-fi movies about trashing your home planet and having to move to another one, just clean it up.
Right.
Or don't do it. If it's dirty, don't do it.
What a conversation. And it's so creepy that there's like a counter as to how much resources is left in the world on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. And the most limited resource, guess what it is?
No. Water.
Yes, water.
I'm so glad you sent me that water filter because I was someone who can't drink the water out of the tap in this city, unfortunately. And it even makes my animals sick. And I had to go using the same plastic bottles over and over to carry the water from across the street. And then when someone urinated all over the water fountain, I just thought, what the hell kind of world is this? Like, I can't even get fresh water in a city because people are so trashy. And then what kind of water filter, and I'm like, thank goodness now I can like purify my own water at home with no plastics involved and just drink the water as much as I want, feed it to my animals, and just not have to go outside for another reason.
And that's why that's why we can't change, I don't think, is because there's people walking around. And I guess that's the same way as like, how do we rationalize and who are like the murderers? Like, who are the human traffickers? Like, It's that, to me, in my mind, it's like, what kind of person would urinate on a drinking water source in the desert?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was like a different kind of disappointment, you know, like it was like a deeper of like humanity. I was just like, whoa, people out here really do not care about each other. Are they just, I don't know what, but how did someone's mind get so toxic and so like full of hate just that they're going to pee all over a drinking fountain that is obviously being used by a lot of people for their water. And I was just so sad. And I remember just walking away with like my empty bottles. I'm like, well, where's the next fountain? I'm like, do I have to go to the store and buy another fresh jug of water with more plastic? You know, like it just spiraled in my brain. And that's when I told you and Tyler, I was like, by the way, I would love a water filter because it's really gross out here sometimes. And it really makes me think about people in different countries who are drinking just whatever water they have, you know, and how like privileged I am to even have multiple access points for water, which is a whole other conversation, but
we have so much access points to water that we neglect it and we don't appreciate it.
Yeah, anymore, someone peed on it, like didn't even care or didn't even think that this is a legit source of water for a lot of people.
Oh dear. And
how do you change minds like that? Like you said, the human traffickers, you know, I just saw another billboard down the street from my house on like human traffickers. And it was going on about how it could look like anybody, it could be from anybody from any kind of like occupation. And it just creeped me out, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show that there's like people who are contributing to that. Like this weird, dark society that never sees the day of light.
Yeah. Well, if we haven't thoroughly bummed you out, how do you, listener, keep your head up if you're doing similar hard work? I know I get out, I go sit by the water, I go for a jog. I try to like, if there's something too overwhelming for me, I believe in Sweet Beaks. And it's just the same philosophy that Christians have. Like if it's greater than you, give it to God. You know, if it's greater than me, I give it to something that's greater than me. Yeah, that's how I keep myself. And I realize like having that master's degree in change management, I realize change is very fearful. And I think even if the change benefits you, nobody sees that or realizes it until after the fact. And we look back and say, that was a really hard time in my life, but I got through it and things are definitely better now. And I wouldn't change anything at all. Like I'd go through that again to get to where I'm at. So in hindsight, you know, we see how that is. I don't know. How do I stay up? I fall back on my culture. A lot of people, I think I like to look at my historical figures. Like we have Gutoyas and he's a monster slayer and he could, so it's kind of like if I was a comic book nerd and instead of reading comic books, I just kind of think about my moral stories from my culture. And I think about these monster slayers and then the monsters. And I guess I check out.
Sometimes you have to. I mean, when I get overwhelmed with a lot of things that are really bumming me out about the world, that it feels like I'm having no effect and the choices I'm making aren't really making an impact, I kind of do the same thing. I just think about the present. I'm like, well, I can't really control the future. The past has already happened. All I can do is what I'm doing at this exact moment. And I'm just going to like put myself first and enjoy some peace. Mm-hmm. Because I can't really control everything around me. And that's where like meditation has really taken a huge role in my life, is like when I get overwhelmed or I have like those thoughts that just don't stop, I've learned to slow down and just be like in the present moment for as long as I can hold it. Even like 45 seconds of like complete mental peace makes a huge difference in your day when you're dealing with these kinds of topics and going in, you know, diving deep into like missing and murdered or political stuff. And it's really helped me mentally balance those kinds of thoughts and feelings. So, and yeah, give it up to the universe. I mean, we're here doing this for a reason, right? Like there has to be a reason behind it. So maybe it's like this little pathway that we're helping the next people behind us, maybe, you know?
Yeah. For my son.
Exactly.
I want my son to have a son and I want him to be a man. I mean, if the son is a man, then it's like, oh my goodness. But yeah, this, that, this upsets me because it affects everything. We have, our animals are being affected, our plants, our people, our health. It's just, at what point do we say, okay, I want to live the way I'm living, but let's transition everything to alternative sources of raw goods to make something or to fuel something. There's ways, and we just have to invest in it. And as long as we continue to go out and we continue to buy bottled water and stuff like that, like I understand if you're like absolutely dehydrated and you have 100 miles left on your trip or something like that, you're caught in a hard situation and you're gonna die of thirst, or it feels like it, like, yeah, I've bought a bottle of water during that time.
Yeah, like we can't be perfect. We really can't be perfect.
But it's overall choices. How many bottles of water have I bought this year? None compared to last year, where I was traveling or I would go to a meeting and they would give us a bottle of water. How many bottles of water have I consumed in 2020 after March and the pandemic started? Zero.
That's amazing.
Because I have my Berkey.
The Berkey water system.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have one for real. For real.
Yes. So the Berkeys, this is a great episode to talk about that. Berkey water systems, we are a nonprofit dealer. So we get a special nonprofit price from Berkey Millennium Systems. And it's because we help provide these systems to people who fill out the form on our website under emergency water systems. And we prioritize elders, immune compromised, and mothers with nursing babies. And these water systems are one of the top of the line, scientifically peer reviewed, tested. They're just the best thing that we can find right now. They're not cheap at all. If you're interested in donating or sponsoring a system for a family, the cheapest systems are about a gallon, and I think they are a couple hundred dollars. Wow. So we try to give larger 3 to 5 gallon systems to like community centers or elder centers, 1 gallon systems to families and elders, and those community center ones are upwards of $350 or $500. And they have special arsenic filters. And they're, they say you can, as long as you have a cheesecloth or some sort of like pre-filtration, you can put lake water into the top of your Berkey and be safe drinking it. If you've, primed your filters, if your filters are not, manufacturer defect or something like that, all of your seals are nice and solid, not over tight. And there's a lot of little things that you have to watch. Were those videos we sent you helpful?
Yes.
Awesome.
Cool. They totally were. And I'm going to kind of keep track of how many bottles I use because I'm going for a hike on Sunday. And already I was thinking about like what I need to bring. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have to bring a bottle of water or like a glass container of water, right? Because that's the reality. I mean, I need to drink water. Mm-hmm. So I need to figure out how to be mobile with mm-hmm. water without using plastic.
Yeah.
On and a mountain.
It's so hard because like I did a workout challenge at a gym last year before the shutdown. And one of our gifts was a plastic shaker bottle to mix up our protein shakes in. And so it's really unavoidable right now in the world that we live in, but you can choose every time you shop everything, cosmetics, detergents, hand soaps, clothes, just practically anything you can think of. There's a plastic version and a not plastic version. So toothbrushes, I've gotten away from toothpaste tubes even, and I use a powder now. And it's a little glass container that it comes in. And then they send refills in biodegradable bags. And so I feel like that, I don't know if the micro, the plastic from that biodegradable bag is like turning into microparticles. I haven't looked into it that far. It seems like a better option than a plastic tube with a plastic cap in a cardboard box that is so for people who don't recycle, if there's a bunch of printed colors or a hard plastic coating outside of your cardboard, you can't recycle it.
Really?
So essentially, yeah, toothpaste boxes that have all of those foils and all of that stuff, not recyclable. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, maybe your city has a better recycling program than mine. But yeah, you think about the tube, the cap, the box, and then going to a biodegradable bag that you refill a little glass disc that I then scoop a little bit of the powder out and wash my teeth with that.
I like that idea. I definitely do choose biodegradable over everything that I can. And it is more expensive, unfortunately. And I think that's what holds a lot of people back too. They're like, well, I could get this for a dollar or pay $3 for a better product for the environment. I mean, that's the reality a lot of people live with too, is that.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll just go without. Yeah. Cause if I can't afford it, I'll just go without it. I have to go without it.
Wow. Yeah. There's so much to think about. That's so much to process.
It is. Like, it's full body health that we're talking about, full environmental health. Like, what's happening to the land is also happening to our bodies. And it's just every product. Like, I am still trying to get rid of some old shampoo and conditioner bottles that I've been hauling around with me because I don't want them to go to the landfill, but I've switched over to shampoo and conditioner bars. And I find that some bar companies still cover their soap in like a plastic material, which is, yeah, but others come in a cardboard box and those are nice. And yeah, everything. So shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, even Pacifica makes a cruelty-free face cleansing bar. I really like that.
Yeah, I use everything Pacifica because I'm so, even though it's plastic, I mean, I do have the bar too, but there's just a lot. There's a lot to consider.
So much. And it would help if we just had more people buying these things, because I guess the more people who buy friendly products just increase the customer size for that base, and then other manufacturers will see the money there and start developing these earth-friendly, you know, non-toxic products for us.
That's what's happening with the plant milk right now. There's a huge shift going on from dairy to like plant milk, and like some companies are jumping on it because they're like, whoa, a lot of people are choosing almond, coconut, oat milk instead. And it took a long time, but I think that if enough people do support it or given options, like I would love to live in an apartment that offered solar energy. I would love to rent an apartment that offered solar energy. I'm about to buy a new keyboard that runs on solar that would last 3 months from not even being put in direct sunlight. Like, that's just an example of how strong solar energy can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to run off of it.
Everybody, you see it in everybody's yards, and it is like the quality of the little panels, but everybody has a little solar panel light. A lot of cities use solar panel street lights, garden walkway lights. For our little camp trailer, I bought little solar lanterns, so I won't have to rely on batteries or, you know.
Yeah.
There's just so much that you can do, and it's fun exploring these alternative products, especially when we find out that companies like Johnson & Johnson baby powder are getting hit with class action lawsuits for cancer-causing talc, like what talc does to you when you breathe it in, and VO5 for actually selling shampoo that makes you lose your hair because of the chemicals. So I'm sorry, I'm laughing, but it's like a... Anyhow, we hope you stay healthy out there.
And like make a little choice, maybe try something in your next purchase when you go shopping. Maybe just look at the options and see if there even is something like that you can afford or that's viable to include into your life. Like, can you change something? Like the toothbrush thing was like a small change that I made a year ago, and I'm not going back to plastic. That's just one example. And that was thanks to you. Thank goodness.
Those, and everything has like a fallback, right? But nothing is going to be perfected until we all join in and get involved. And then when we get mass interest, that's when our products will start to get more refined, better quality, you know, ingredients for the manufacturer become, you know, maybe they're reflective of the true price, right? Like when you think about almond milk, the downside of that industry is that it takes an extreme amount of water to make one almond.
Mm-hmm.
So do I want to borrow cow's milk, or do I want to like be super water intensive and make almond milk? And then think of the alternatives like rice milk. There's mm-hmm. lots of rice milk,
coconut mm-hmm. milk.
Coconut milk. I used to be a really big fan of coconut milk and switch back to rice milk. And I don't even use, if I eat some granola in the morning, I'll use some milk. But other than that, I drink everything black. Don't eat much milk. I've never been a milk fan. Thank you to all of my classmates from K through 12 who took my milk carton for me. It's still a nightmare for me.
And maybe if we all just try to like make better choices, then we won't have to worry about penis sizes shrinking in the future and like reproductive havoc and people being, I don't know, not enjoying their reproductive lives as much as they could. Mm-hmm.
It's just another issue we don't need, and it's preventative.
Mm-hmm. Preventative, that's a thing. Preventative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what always gets me. It's like, we could have prevented this.
Yes, we know better, so let's do better.